From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm your host, Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State on the Michigan Talk Network, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck. Deer Mineral, just got back, man. I got back a couple of days ago from the Bassmaster Classic down in Greenville, South Carolina. Great time. It was cold down there. For Michigan guy, not bad. For those down in South Carolina, completely different story. Not used to the cold, and it was a very good time. Thanks to the fine folks at Dick's Sporting Goods for allowing me to be their MC at the 2015 Bassmaster Classic Outdoors Expo. Had a great time. Got to hang with some top-notch anglers, some Bassmaster Classic winners. And before I get too far into the show, I'm working with Bill Dance, Jimmy Houston, Roland Martin, Hank Parker. Absolutely fantastic. And I'll tell you real quickly before I get into Brian Brosdahl, who's our first guest today. I felt like a little kid when, you know, we got done working with Bill Dance and Hank and Jimmy Houston on the stage. You know, I'd worked with these guys a number of times, but shook the hand of Bill Dance, and he gave me a great big hug and said, "Thank you for doing what you do." And I felt like a 5-year-old kid. It was absolutely amazing. But, you know, again, this is what happens when you get to work with such great people in the outdoors. And we've been doing this for a while. We've been, you know, working with Brian Brosdahl, who's a pro angler, an ice fishing guru, and, you know, an all-around good friend, very good friend. And he joins us right now as our first guest on this week's show. Bro, welcome back, man. We talked off air, but you would have loved the weather down there, because every now and then when they would pan to the live shot, you heard that noise, and it was guys cleaning ice from their lines. Could not help but laugh. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good. Thanks, Duran. I tell you what, that would have been my cup of tea. I'm in a lot of cold weather all the time.
You know what? For us, it's not a big deal. You tell people down south that you go ice fishing, and they look at you with this look of disbelief, like, "What? You drive on the ice?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, if there's enough, but we walk out there," and you get one of only two responses. One, "No way, I never want to do that," or two, "That is on my bucket list."
Yeah, and actually, I had some bucket listers here. 4 days ago, I had a father and son from Louisiana. They left 80-degree weather to go fishing with me, and when they got here, it was minus 31 actual air temp.
That's cold, because I was in Minneapolis at the airport on Monday. It was 19 when we pulled in, so it wasn't bad, but you wonder what possesses somebody that's used to such warm weather to go ice fish. We already know what the attraction is.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely loved it. They didn't realize the comfort. They went from a warm vehicle to a machine for just a few minutes, and they're in a warm house. I set it all up. I didn't want them to freeze, but after a while, they started getting a little more used to it. When the temperature got up to minus 9, they were walking around and dealing with it, and they said it was one of the most fascinating and fun experiences they ever had. And so that's kind of neat. We do have something unique in Michigan. You can actually ice fish that you can't do anywhere else. You walk out, the fish are directly under you. You're in close proximity to what you're chasing.
You know, and what's funny is you said something that a lot of people don't experience is a level of comfort.
Yes.
You've got a rig. Your rig. Tell us about your rig, because it's kind of amazing. But this is what you do.
Oh, yeah. If we get a lot of snow, I have tracks on an FJ Cruiser. I'm not a particular brand person. I'd love to have them on a Jeep. I'd love to have them on anything. You can put them on anything, but you can have heat and comfort and drink coffee on your way to the spot. But not every place has ice that can support a vehicle weight. I have I got a Polaris snowmobile that I can pull houses, and I got a trailer that you can put people on with skis. I have all that stuff, and you got to be prepared. You know, if you get some bad weather, you ain't walking to a spot that's several miles out or even 10 miles out. you got to be able to get there by machine, especially if you got a lot of people. And that's part of the experience. They absolutely love it. And from the time you walk out to the time you take machines, we try to make sure everybody's comfortable. And, you know, the only time that they get a little bit cool is on the travel out to the spot. But if there's thick enough ice, you can take a truck. A heated truck on tracks is a blast. And it's fun. It's like driving on in a big snowmobile, but you can drink a coffee or a pop on the way without chipping a tooth.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about this season. We've had some great ice again this season, although in Michigan we had a pretty warm December, and it didn't look like we were going to get the ice that we did last year. All of a sudden we've got this deep freeze. How has that affected the fishing overall when you get such an instant cold?
Well, it actually, the pressure's changing actually will drive the fish to the bottom, and you have to move more to get on them. They won't move to you. It's just like when the deer lay down and you're in your stand, and all of a sudden, you know, you ain't seeing nothing. You have to go to them. But in ice fishing, when you get to stable weather pattern, fish roam around and you catch more fish. So when the cold fronts come in, they push them down, and you got to do a little bit more searching, a little more hole drilling. By all means, you don't want to do a drill-a-thon. I get people that drill next to me sometimes. They never shut their drill off. And
the
whole time, all you got to do is wait. Perch roam. They roam around, sort of walleyes. And I'm hearing there's spots to get on Erie, and I'm drilling there because they're really cracking some nice walleyes. I'd love to get out there and fish. Some good ice, but not everywhere. You just got to do some talking and go into the shops and figure out where to go. But there's some great places to fish right now.
Speaking with Brian Brosdahl, a pro angler here on Wild Michigan, our favorite go-to ice guy. Bro, I went out fishing a couple of weeks ago. I made a move in July. Thought I knew where everything was at, but you know, after 6 months, you don't know where you put anything when it's still in boxes.
Yeah.
Looked for my electronics, looked for my Humminbird, looked for my AquaView camera, could not find them. So I went out, fished blind, which, you know, after using that equipment, it was kind of frustrating. Still got on a few gills, but, you know, if you know the area that you're fishing, it shouldn't be that hard to have a better educated guess.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, the research ahead of time is a big deal, but when you get out there, electronics make life really easy, and going without them can be tough, but if you know there's fish down there, if you're in shallow water, I always start at the bottom of the ice and work my way down, where you always hear people starting at the bottom, working their way up. That's not the case, especially in late winter. Start under the ice and work your way down. A lot of fish will hang under the ice, and you can't see them on your electronics anyway because they're off the side of the ice. When you drill a hole, they move to the side. I've had perch in depths over 20 feet sitting 3 feet under the ice this time of year. A big schools of perch, and you will not get them to come under your transducer. When they do come under it, you'll see a line, and you're hooked up with the fish.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cat and mouse or waiting. And so, you know, fishing under the ice, you do have an advantage with an AquaView because you can drop it just a few feet below and turn and look, and
mm-hmm.
that's where I seen the swarms of perch laying there, but they wouldn't come under the hole, so you had to kick in the snow in your hole, and sometimes the snow's so thick, if you just put a little layer of slush, you're doing nothing. You have to kick in. I like using snow, actual loose snow, because it's not, you don't have the ice chunks in there, and I'll push the lure through, I'll reel it up to the rod tip, push it through, and then let it go, and fish right under the hole. Otherwise, it looks like a beam of light coming from the ceiling. Those fish will come underneath a real slushed-over hole. And when I have to poke the lure through with the rod, that tells you how slushed up it is.
Sure. No, that's interesting. I've never heard that tactic before of covering things up. So we're going to talk more with Brian Brosdahl. Find him on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. There's a link to our favorite pros on there. Wild Michigan brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. You can find it everywhere, even South Carolina. And you can find us at wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast here on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hey, Hey, this is Mark Zona from Zona's Awesome Fishing Show, and you're listening to my guy, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
I'm on a first-name basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host. Going on 9 years of this fun show. We have got a new affiliate coming our way next weekend, WMMI, 8:30 a.m. in Mount Pleasant. Very happy to have those guys back, man. It's a great signal for us right in central Michigan. We are coming back on the air next weekend to WMMI, 8:30 a.m. in Shepherd, Mount Pleasant. And it's again, you know, all of our affiliates are absolutely fantastic. If you listen to us on an affiliate, let us know. If you're listening to us on podcast from our website, wildmichiganradio.com, let us know, because we want to know, you know, who we're hitting, where we're hitting. And again, very happy to be back on station number like 13 or 14 with WMMI in Mount Pleasant. Right now, Brian Brosdahl is speaking with us. Brian is a pro staff angler for Frabel and Northland and Aquaview and about a bunch of other places. But he is probably one of the most recognizable guys in ice fishing. Longtime friend of ours, got him here on the show. And, bro, you were talking about tactics about not scaring perch away, about maybe covering up some of that, you know, what we try and keep our holes clean. But, you know, when you have that beam of light coming down from the heavens, it tends to freak fish out a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. When fish are suspended, whether it be perch or in perch suspend, it's an oxygen thing and a food thing. You don't want to, you drill a hole, you got snow on the ice, you drill through the ice, and then all this light goes right down through. So when you kick in snow, it actually helps. And they have a technique, we call it jousting, where you reel the lure up to your rod tip, push it through, and then let it go. But some of these fish are just 3 feet under the ice this time, especially this time of year. You really got to watch that, because a lot of the food, the band of bait fish, is up higher. The minnows, the bloodworms, and the zooplankton are right under the ice because we have good coverage and they can move around. And so you want to fish right there. And if you have a light coming through your hole, they're not going to come under the hole. And I look with the camera to make sure they're there, and swing the transducer of your hummingbird to see them. But those fish are real spooky, and the thicker the snow, the more chance you have of catching them. So something to really try. And this time of year, fish do suspend. The oxygen level shrinks, and wherever there's a snowbank, you're going to catch more fish because the zooplankton is hiding there. Zooplankton is shy of the sun. That's why it comes out at night.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's in water on your hummingbird, the screen will clutter with all kinds of insect life. You can hardly see your lure anymore, and that's what it is. But some of it stays out during the day underneath ice, especially under the higher mounds of snow.
Speaking with Brian Brosdahl here on Wild Michigan. Bro is our top ice guru, if you will. Now, let's talk about when you have zooplankton, whichever way you're going to say it, you have the food source for some of the fish coming in. Maybe it's clouding up your electronics. You know, maybe your sensitivity is a little high. That could be an issue sometimes, because some people have the sensitivity kind of way up on those things, and maybe you should back it down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to turn it up so that when a fish comes through, it looks like you got a whale under the ice. You know, if your lure looks like a giant fish, it's time to turn it down.
Yeah, well, I had a conversation with some guys about this, you know, because we were working with some of the guys from Hummingbird over the weekend. And, you know, he says, you know what, it looks like this big wall of darkness and people don't know what they're doing wrong.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing is make sure your transducer is hanging straight. If it's crooked, you know, if you got the float under, try it without the float, and just let it hang vertical. Get it to the bottom of the ice. You'll have a clear view. If your transducer's slightly crooked, it's reading a little bit of ice. It'll mess up your signal. And if you're fishing next to other people and you're picking up a little bit of noise, try the different frequencies, but go to a narrow beam. A narrow beam instead of a wide beam, so you're interfering with each other. You can work real well together. And if you're using a narrow beam, that fish is right underneath you. So that's the thing. If you have a wide beam, that fish could be off to the side. So, and there's a time and a place for both, you know, deep water, shallow water, but definitely experiment, even in shallow water. A narrow beam, if that fish is there, it's in the zone, so you got to be ready.
Absolutely, and you know, this is, we've talked about these things all the time here on the show, but again, getting out, you know, look, I talk more about fishing and hunting than I ever get to do anymore, but when I do go out, we take these tips from you and a bunch of our other guys, you know, and get out there. Now, we are coming towards the late season. If we can still find some green weeds, we know that they produce oxygen. Some fish may be suspended around those areas or maybe upwards. Like you said, are we changing sizes yet? Are we going towards some of the bigger stuff, or are we still staying really small?
Well, actually, you know, you don't have to. You could qualify a spot with a larger lure and pick off the active fish, especially big jumbo perch. The big ones will come up and bite right away using small spoons, whether it's a beaded spoon or I like the buckshot or a forage fry spoon are really great from Northland Tackle. Try metallic colors and then experiment with glow colors. But I really love the hexi fly because it swims forward, kind of in that same motion like a puppet minnow. The hexi fly has flat wings, and you get that thing to swim away from your hole. And don't put too much bait on it because it'll weigh it down. But just a few spikes or one wax worm, you get that lure, drop it in the hole, and then jig it and watch it bang off the side of your hole so you can see how it swims. Don't over jig. You don't want to make it look like the insect kicked the fish's butt. You know, like you want to make it look like it's darting and swimming. And when you're jigging it, don't drop. Don't drop like you're jigging for walleyes. That's one thing I notice with my clients. They come in and they jig and they drop, and I think they're hitting some of the fish on the nose because they chase them right off the screen. What you want to do is a slow, twitchy up swing, mm-hmm. and then a slow drop. You never just drop the lure, especially when you're fishing for perch, bluegills, crappies. When they're not around, you can jig like a maniac. But when the fish come in, you want slow twitchy your eyes, you're cat and mousing, you're pulling it up.
Sure.
And that hexi fly is just pulling away slowly, and then slow drop, and that's when they hit it. If it's a slow drop, they'll come up and grab it. So just remember that. Don't bang them on the head.
Right, and if you're tight line fishing too, watch for that slack, because that's about the time that they're raising up with your lure.
And, don't set the hook too hard either. You know, if your rear end's leaving your bucket when you're setting the hook, you're going to Texas on them. You want to make sure you do a quick sweep into a solid hookup. It's not jerk; it's a sweep, a nice light sweep. And I highly recommend 2 pound test, 2 pound bionic. You know, 3 is awesome. I love 3 if you're mm-hmm. dealing with perch or you do get a few northern pike or occasional bass or walleye. 3 is your friend, but I like to use 2 on my line, and I'll reach down and pick up the panfish. You can't swing them into your hand when you're using 1 or 2 pound test, but the lighter line is great this time of year, especially when the fish are wary. The bite's starting to get, you start getting into the doldrums of winter,
sure.
And every little thing is an advantage. And experiment with colors like blue and glow, your greens, like they call it grasshopper color. It's
yeah.
kind of a green with a glow, and then red glow is awesome.
All right, Brian Brosdahl, appreciate you joining us here. BrosGuideService.com. You can find the link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to Brian Brosdahl, Pro Ice Angler, our go-to guy for the ice. For the first couple seconds of the show, Got more coming your way. If you want to find us online, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find us, our podcast. Listen to us anywhere in the world. Maybe even Greenville, South Carolina, where we just got back from the Bassmaster Classic. A great 5 days in Greenville. It was very cold there the first day. But you know, no complaints out of me. I was inside. I was working at the Dick's Sporting Goods booth. And a huge, huge footprint these guys have at the Bassmaster Classic Expo. But I didn't get to fish, but I did get to meet some cool anglers, and probably the most fun I had was introducing myself to a young man by the name of Chad Pipkins from Holt, Michigan. He joins us right now on the show. Chad, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. And tell me what went through your mind. I walk up to you at the expo, there at the media day. Hi, Chad Pipkins. You're from Holt, Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. I also live in Holt.
And you, it's a small world after all, dude. Is the song that came to mind. And I tell you what, the more I travel, the smaller it is, because you randomly meet people all over the country world that live near you or know what you do or know, you know, something about your family. It's just kind of random.
It is. And the look on your face was priceless because, look, Holt is just outside of Lansing. It's a small town, nice place, a friendly place to live, as they say. But you grew up in Holt, and I really didn't know much about you until my good friend Dan Kimmel said, "Hey, you got to get Chad Pipkins on your show. Dan's a big fan." And he said, "Well, he's from Holt." I'm like, "He's from Holt? I didn't know he didn't know he was in the circuit." But so,
well, it sounds like I need to win some more tournaments to make my waves here, so you know who I am, I guess.
Well, no, Michigan, we're not a huge bass state. So when, you know, and I'll just throw the name out there. When Kim Van Dam first came to recognition, it was like, you know, like the Northern guys winning NASCAR. It's like, oh my gosh, we got to take notice. And now we have you in the Elite Series. You're from Holt, putting us on the map. And how did you get started? Because you're a young guy and you're running this big series.
I've always loved to fish, and I grew up Higgins Lake and just fishing every day, like perch fishing, rock bass with my parents. They had a cottage up there, and I actually started fishing my first bass tournament was out of Lake Lansing, and right down, you know, where we're from. And it's a great little fishery. It gets a lot of pressure in the summer, but it's a fun place to fish, and that's where I grew up fishing team tournaments there, and did a lot of like the local like Michigan BFL stuff, kind of fishing statewide. And then took that to a regional level where I got to travel with somebody at the national level and kind of mentor through him. I was his like co-angler, so I traveled and networked a lot. And while I was still, you know, fishing out of my boat, you know, honing my decision-making skills and stuff on some semi-pro stuff. And a few years ago, everything just came together. I won a couple events and also got my spot to the elites. And I haven't looked back too much since, I guess. Been trying to make my way.
Now, the Elite Series, people, you know, bass fishing is so underappreciated from the athletic standpoint because we've talked to pro anglers. We've had them on the show here. Again, like NASCAR, the similarities are so numerous because this is very physical. You're making random decisions. You're standing. You're going your body against the water. You're casting constantly. And you're making mental decisions on a second-by-second basis. This is very physically demanding.
Yeah, definitely. Every day is a little different. I mean, there's times when, like, the term I won on Lake Erie, I was making a 75-mile boat ride, and I was in 6-foot waves, and it beats that up on your body, and then you're trying to stand in 5 or 6 waves and run a trolling motor and move around, and a long days of practice. If it's light out for 14 hours a day, whatever it is, if it's light for that long during official practice, that's how long I'm on the water for. So you do. You're standing, you're burning a lot of calories up there moving around, and it's tough on your body, but a lot of us do other things as well. I mean, I still play hockey and lift weights and run and try to stay in shape. But the big thing you mentioned briefly is the mental toughness. I mean, that's what separates the guys that get in and it doesn't work out for them because they, you know, they can't quite, you know, make it where they can make a good living. And that's what separates them from the guys that can go out there and consistently catch fish and stay in the game and make a career out of it. I mean, it's like you said, it's every second counts, and you're making so many decisions throughout the day. You need to make those quicker and be able to adapt and change and move with the fish.
Chad Pipkins is our guest here, a Bass Series Elite Pro. He was at the Bassmaster Classic. He was competing in the Bassmaster Classic. Let's talk about the lake conditions in Greenville, South Carolina. Like I said, it was cold, and even for a Michigan guy, it had to be kind of brutal out there.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, you're from Michigan. You should like this. Well, let me tell you, I don't like it when I'm fishing out of a boat and running 70 miles an hour. But I am at least used to it and know how to dress for it. I mean, I had 8 layers on during the tournament. And the first thing I did when I got to my first spot was take my coat off because I was dying inside. I was sweating. I also had heated soles, heated toe warmers, heated everything. And so I stayed warm. I just wish I could have had a few more bites.
Well, there were guys that didn't catch any fish at all during that during the classic there.
Yeah, and it was one of those times where some guys probably were on fish too. You know, like they were on fish shallow, and those fish just shut down, and you know, it's hard to adjust then. And for me, it was a little frustrating. It felt good because I did find some of the right stuff. You know, I had a few guys on a place where I just had a single bite in practice, and then I go there and there are guys that made a top 10 in one area, other guys that made a top 15, but you just that time of year and stuff, when you're not getting a lot of bites, you really just have to make the most of it. And sometimes it's just the one bite, and it's the one clue to say, hey, you know, okay, I got a bite here, and I saw one school, so maybe when they're active in the morning, maybe I could come here and load the boat. And that's what it was. And then knowing where to slow down and spend your time, you know, just those decisions.
it is a lot of decisions, and choosing which bait, which presentation. With colder weather, when those fish shut down like that, you get a water temp that comes down to about 45 degrees or something like that. It's pretty miserable. They don't want to react.
Yeah, no, it was up to 49 in practice, and it fell 8 degrees in a few days. And for those of you who don't follow fishing that much, it'd be like me and 75, 80 at home, and everybody's playing in the water in the beach, and the next day it's 21 degrees. Nobody's going outside. Nobody's doing anything. Everybody's hunkering down, and that's exactly what the fish do. I mean, I could see them on my graph, and they would not bite. Places where I knew they were there, and I caught fish, I'm looking at them and changing out presentations, and just they're down there probably just laughing and hanging out.
Chad Pipkins is our guest here, a pro angler with the Bass Elite Series. Chad, some of the other problems that you guys had were boats freezing to the trailers. Not fun when you're trying to launch.
Yeah, I'd never seen that before, and I was worried about the ramp icing up and trucks jackknifing, sliding around. And they did a good job preparing the ramp, but the one thing they couldn't prepare for was the frozen trailers to the bunks. I mean, the trailers, boats go on the trailer wet, and the trailers have a lot of carpet on them where the boat slides up, and that stuff freezes. It doesn't just come out right. I mean, we were down, I think it would took every bit of 4 times in and out, you know, for the boat backing in to kind of shake it loose, and finally it would kind of break free. Hopefully it didn't break free any fiberglass, but I think we should be good.
Yeah, no kidding. And the launch got put back an hour and a half that morning. And last year, Lake Gunnersville in Alabama, in Birmingham, it was cold as well. And we have not heard, you may have some inside information on this, but I don't think I've heard yet as to where the next classic is going to be.
Well, I hope it's pretty far south because they usually stay with that, you know, end of February deal. And maybe they'll move it back a couple weeks. But at that time of year, I mean, unless you're in southern Florida or out west, you really just, you never know what you're going to get. You know, it's late February, early March. I mean, it might be 70, and it might be 30. I mean, 2 weeks ago, before the Classic, it was 65 and 70 in South Carolina, and we just happened to be there for the cold spell. So that's just one of the things that we got to kind of overcome and deal with. It doesn't make it fun for us to fish always. It doesn't make it fun to watch, but it does make for a story. And, you know, somebody's going to catch them. It doesn't matter what the temperature is. Somebody will catch them everywhere we go.
Absolutely. Chad Pipkins is our guest here. Chad, hang on, man, because we got more we want to talk to you about. We want to talk about your sponsor, because like Mark Zona said, you're the only guy out there with a hair care place. Douglas J. Academy is your sponsor, and I want to talk about how that all happened, because, bro, I love you, but you got the hair for it.
You got to go with what works. That's one thing I can control. I can't always make the fish bite, but I can make my hair look good when you get up on stage.
And it looks good as well. So hang on. We got Chad Pipkins on the line, Bass Elite Series angler, talking about recapping what has happened at the Bassmaster Classic down in Greenville, South Carolina. He is coming up next year on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network, wildmichiganradio.com.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State. Keep in mind, next week we'll be airing on AM 830 WMMI in Mount Pleasant, another great affiliate to our already a great affiliate list here. And if you miss any of those shows, any of our shows, you can pick them up on wildmichiganradio.com. We've got the podcast right there. And we keep those up minimum for 6 months. I think we go back to 2013 because we've bumped up our level of coverage on our podcast, so you can pick them up probably back a couple of years. So check them out. You can also check out this interview with Chad Pipkins if you missed of it. Holt, Michigan Elite Series Angler with BASS, and he is joining us right now. And this morning I looked on the Facebook page, and it looked like you were in Guntersville, Lake Guntersville, which is where the Classic was last year. It was cold, but you were brushing off a good amount of snow from your boat.
Yeah, in the Northeast anywhere. I brushed every bit of 8 to 10 inches off my boat today. And I tell you what, if anybody needs like snow, rain, or anything, I mean, if you just set up a trip with me to come out, and it'll rain. I went out and I helped end the drought out in California when I went out there this December, too. That's when they got that torrential rain. So it just follows me wherever I go.
You are the weatherman. That's funny, because
I guess so.
I was afraid. This is no joke, Chad. I was afraid when I got down to the Bassmaster Classic working with Dick's Sporting Goods that I was going to be blamed for the cold, because last year was my first Classic at Lake Guntersville in Birmingham, and it was cold to them. It was just as warm because we had a warm-up here, but you know, I thought I was going to get blamed, and then this year I go down there, it's cold, but I think I can probably push it off on you because you brought snow to Lake Guntersville.
It's everywhere. I mean, if you play the numbers, it started with when we left for the trip with the 16-inch blizzard at home. Then I stopped in Missouri. They had a winter storm warning there. I was delayed because of ice, and it rained in California. It rained in Arizona for 2 days when I was there. It doesn't rain in Arizona but like 5 days a year. And then you have the Classic, then you have this. So it's wherever I go. But you get used to it and make it work, I guess.
Well, and that's just it. Adapt. My favorite word in the world is when my girlfriend panics. You know, I said, honey, you have to adapt. You cannot panic. It's kind of like fishing these tournaments. You know, I mean, you're pre-fishing. Actually, your scouting got cut short. When is that? When is that event going to take place?
This was not until April. I want to say April 10th. So we've got a month off limits period where we can't be on the body of water. So it kind of fit in with my schedule to drive over here a little bit before I head home for a couple weeks. And you just at least want to see the lake. So I got to drive around a half day and like a three-quarter day. And I didn't really fish much. I did catch one fish, but they're not going to be in the same place as now as then. But it's just, for me, it's about getting comfortable with the body of water, knowing where the ramps are, knowing which creeks have what to offer. And at least so when I get down fishing against these guys for a living, you got to have a game plan in order to try to compete. I mean, a lot of these guys have been on most of the bodies of water multiple times in fish tournaments. So when you go there, never having fished an event or even having been there, you better have an idea what you're going to do and, you know, be ready to try to make some stuff happen.
Now, when you're fishing the cold, you were fishing the tournament in Greenville. What were your best producing lures? What were you using? Because again, was it a slow retrieve? Was it something maybe you went down to a smaller bait, something with rattles? What were you using to get the fish's attention?
The big deal there is the blueback herring and how they travel in and out of the pockets at night. And so a lot of those fish suspend. And in practice, the only big fish I caught, like really good quality, like tournament fish, were on a fish head spin with a Dimiti armor shad. It's like a little thing with it's called an underspin. It's got a little spinner on the bottom. And it's got like a shad kind of deal, which is the Dimiti armor shad. And you just fish that above brush, around docks, in the back of pockets and drains, and the fish come up and get it. And then, you know, that's how I caught the majority of my larger fish in practice. I also was catching them in, like, deeper brush, drop-shotting a four boys. It's a drop-shot darter. They're out of Indiana. It's the first company I ever started working with. I've got a lot of great soft plastic baits. And between, you know, the fish head spin and that darter, I really thought I could catch, you know, 5 to 8 or 9 keepers a day. You know, they weren't always big, mm-hmm. the ones on the drop shot, but I was going to fish brush and, you know, 2.5 and mix that in with a couple of good fish in the morning. It could have made for a good tournament. No, but not all, like, it's not always easy, and sometimes those fish, they were still there. They just kind of hunkered down.
Sure, and it makes it tough. Now, yeah, there are a lot of – this is the one thing I think we talked a little bit of off-air, but I want to talk to you about on-air. Sponsorships. I mean, you have a lot of, you know, you get your boat wrapped, you got them on your Dye Sub shirts, you know, you have sponsors, but you probably have one of the most unique sponsors I've ever seen. Being from Lansing, it's very easy to understand, but when somebody sees Douglas J on your boat and on your Dye Sub shirt, on your jersey there, you have a sponsorship from a hair salon slash academy for the I just blanked on what you call it, but for hair. How'd that happen?
And the neat thing about it is, I mean, what people don't realize is that the boat and trucks, they look cool and stuff, and, you know, you're getting a fish, and they show your tournament winnings, but they don't realize what you spend. They don't show that. I mean, for us to fish, we're going to spend $80,000 a year, you know, and you got to have good support. And I was fortunate to align myself with some great people, and Douglas Day was one of the first people to kind of believe in what I was doing and stuff. I do a lot of stuff locally with them. I mean, it's not about, you know, if I catch a fish, are they going to sell more, tuitions, you know, to their schools or get more haircuts? It's not about that. It's about brand awareness and, you know, help creating a brand and just trying to be a good role model. And for some of the people that they work with, we do a lot of awesome charities. You know, we work with Juvenile Diabetes. They have a big golf outing every year. I'm bringing the boat and the truck out there, and the boat's on the golf course. You hit a hole-in-one, you win the boat. I'm out there flipping at targets while guys are chipping, and we raise extra money through that. We also do a fish-a-thon every year with myself and the CEO, Scott Weaver, and we pick a place, and all the money that we raise there goes towards the Alliance for Great Lakes. You know, we've done that 2 years. This will be our third year. We're going to be doing that. We're actually going to shoot a video for that this year and do a little bit of stuff with breast cancer, and we just try to find it's a neat niche for me because it's about being different out there.
Sure.
In terms of, you know, trying to be noticed and stuff, which helps me out quite a bit. But it's fun to be able to do something that you believe in and help other causes as well. You know, so just it's a good relationship to have.
No, Douglas J has been a top name in cosmetology education here in the Lansing area for a long, long time. And it's very nice to see them support a local guy like yourself, speaking with Chad Pipkins here on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You know, and it goes a long way. And like you said, it's not all about going from tournament to tournament to tournament, practice to practice, practice. There is a lot of stuff in between, a lot of business, a lot of charity work in between that helps you get to that next spot. You know,
and that's really the biggest thing. You know, you don't get paid to fish. You know, you get paid to do the other things that allow you to fish. And giving the opportunity to work with Douglas J has just been amazing because we get to do it. Like I said, we get to do a lot of fun things that really help out a lot of other people. And it's all about branding and, you know, helping get their name out there a little bit more. And hopefully as I grow and, you know, maybe they get a few more schools, maybe they get a school in South Carolina, they get one in Texas and grow a little bit. And it's just like we talked about before, how small the world is. I mean, as I travel, I've been on a lake in in Tennessee and in Alabama before where I get stopped on the water and somebody's like poking and pointing like, hey, you know, screaming at me. They're like, you better have good hair if you're fishing out of that boat. And they actually knew Douglas J. You know, their daughter went to school there or whatever it was.
Sure.
And I was fishing, not wearing a hat, and just laughing my butt off because I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I drive this far and this is what I get, which is it's pretty cool when it happens.
Absolutely, absolutely, and dude, you've got great hockey hair. As a former hockey player myself, I know about the hockey hair, and you've got great hair.
I did play hockey my whole life, but it works out all right too.
It does, and you got a great sponsor. We got Chad Pipkins here on the show, and I talked to my buddy Jonathan Van Dam at the Classic as well. He wasn't fishing the Classic, but you know, they make you have to show up, even though you're not fishing. You need to show up to these things.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge event. Everybody's there, fans from all over the country, you know, been people from Japan, reporters. I mean, it's a pretty neat deal. And so, again, it's not about fishing always. It's about working and stuff. An event like that, it's so important to be there and to work for the people that do support you throughout the year that make it possible for you to, you know, be able to do what you do. So if you didn't get to fish, you got to be there working. This is my first one, and I hope to get to fish every one for the rest of my career.
All right, Chad Pipkins.
We'll see what happens.
Absolutely. Stay on the line, man. I'll talk to you off air real quick, but I want to thank Chad Pipkins for joining us. Brian Brosdahl for joining us. In the next hour of the show, we're going to speak with Buck McNeely, 30 years of The Outdoorsman on TV. You can find us at wildmichiganradio.com. Check out our sponsors like Lucky Buck, Dart and Archery, HHA, the new Optimizer Light, Kingpin, Single Pin, Archery Sights, the number one name. They're all at wildmichiganradio.com, and we will be on WMMI next week. 8:30 a.m. in Mount Pleasant. Check us out online, wildmichiganradio.com, on the Michigan Talk Network.